Welcome back to the Captain's Run with Cameron Smith. Make sure to give us a text 0457 736 736. We also have a caller. It's Greg Lawton, or either he's from Lawton. But Greg, you there, mate?
Yeah, I'm just ringing up. Quick question about the Hudson Young incident. I thought a shoulder charge to the head was a suspension, not a fine.
For sure. I think, Smithy, what do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, no, that's a fair point that Greg makes. I guess they're taking into account that it wasn't in a ball-carrying situation, Greg, where Caelan Ponga was sort of, you know, he'd offloaded the ball and was just sort of milling around sort of in the middle of nowhere. Hudson Young, as we spoke about earlier, was chasing back. And they've sort of, I reckon they've taken into account the reasoning behind what Hudson Young spoke about, how it's just sort of, it was a reaction. It wasn't like he'd lined him up and tried to tee off on him. So they've taken that into account. But I completely understand where you're coming from, because either way, taking into account, you know, the situation where it happened, at the end of the day, though, it's still high contact, isn't it? I guess if Caelan Ponga was returning the football and Hudson Young would have got him high like that, he'd probably be looking at least a week on the sideline. So it is a... it is a funny one, but look, I don't mind. Look, it really wasn't much doing, you know, in my opinion, and I think a fine is sufficient.
I think we've lost him, but it's a very fair point, because put it this way, and you know, they like to say we don't rule this way. If Caelan stays down and gets HIA'd, I guarantee he's suspended.
Yes.
But I guess you have to have some kind of grey area where, look, would we really want a bloke suspended for that? You know, I don't think so. And I agree with you, mate, where there is an argument to be made that he was bracing for impact.
Yep.
So, look, I'm glad that he wasn't suspended, but the caller makes a fair point. You know, if it was black and white, that's what you'd probably look at. Now, let's get on to Sharkies defeating the Warriors. Mate, what do you reckon of this performance by the Sharkies?
Yeah, no, big performance. As, you know, we mentioned off the top, it was a pretty brave performance. You know, when you're talking about gritty games across the weekend or efforts from teams, it's no doubt, you know, Storm and Sharks, given where they were, particularly in the first half of the footy game. You know, you sort of looked at a point in that match where you thought, well, this is going to be a Warriors victory. But the Sharks, they come back and that's probably one of, I guess, looking at the last couple of seasons, Kempe, I reckon that's probably one of their better wins. Just given it's round one, over in New Zealand, always tough to go over there and play and get a victory, because they are taking on, it's a quality outfit. And, you know, Sean Johnson, of course, you know, coming off one of his best seasons. Roger Tuivasa-Sheck back. He had some nice touches. Adam Fanua Blake, like, just incredible. Incredible. Like, scored a try, had a nice line break. He is such a good player. But the Sharks found a way to get it done. It was so good, so good.
And, you know, it's so cliche, and I'm sure fans are sick of hearing it, but defense wins premierships. It is literally written in stone. I reckon they found it written on a stone about 3,000 years ago. Defense wins premierships.
It does, mate. It just does. It's important to start practicing your defense now. Like you don't want to wait till the end and go, oh, look, our defense will click at the end when we need to, like in the big matches. It doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. You need to start building good habits in your game, particularly in your defense, in the early rounds. So then you become accustomed with that style of defense, you know, the systems and the actions of all the players in the game. And so that, you know, it just becomes automatic for you. And then you're not reeling at the end of the year thinking, geez, like, we're conceding a lot of points here. What do we have to change? It's there already. So that's, you know, again, that was a really strong performance by the Sharkies and a really tough win. They'll take an enormous amount of confidence out of that.
Now the Eels, the Eels defeat the Doggies. Huge talking points out of this. First of all, Bryce Cartwright, unbelievable performance.
Big game.
Doggies, what are your thoughts on where they are at? Is it stay patient, Doggy fans, or is it there are certain things that you feel could be fixed up pretty quickly?
I think stay patient. They've certainly made some good signings from, you know, a sort of individual player point of view. Obviously, Critter going across, Salmon being there as well. You know, some great signings. I just don't know how long Toby Sexton will be staying out of this football side. I haven't yet seen their lineup for this week with their sort of the early teams that have been named.
Pretty much same as
yeah. Well, Hutchinson's still in the halves, is he? Yeah. So yeah,
Burton at six.
I don't know. I look at it and go, well, is this where they all want to be, these players? And I know at times, like, it's not where you want to be. It's about where the team needs you to be to make the strongest 17. It's you know, I heard Shane Flanagan talking about this with the Dragons lineup, you know, about Zach Lomax playing on the wing and him not being overly happy with that, allegedly. That's what we're hearing. But Shane Flanagan said, look, you know, I know that's not his preferred position, but that's him being on the wing makes our stronger 17. And as coach, that's my job. So when I look at that from a Bulldogs point of view, I sort of look at their lineup and go, well, does Stephen Crichton want to be playing in the centres, or does he want to be playing fullback? You know, I don't think Toby Sexton feels as though he should be sitting on the sideline. I think he thinks he should be playing in the number 7 jersey. I really do feel that he would make them a better side if he started. And I think Drew Hutchinson, I think he's a great player to have on your interchange bench because he's so versatile. He can play in the halves. You can chuck him in the centres. You could possibly put him in the back row as well because he's quite a big body. You know, so he's got that versatility of being able to fill different positions on the field, back line and in the forward pack. I just think, yeah, there's something small missing with that footy side at the moment. Given the amount of quality players in that footy side.
Yeah, I have to say I am surprised at some selections in this side. I believe that, look, Stephen Crichton didn't sign to play fullback, but he is open to playing anywhere in the outback line. Yeah. And I just think with where they're at right now, you need your best players in key positions.
Mm-hmm.
And Critter, I don't see. Taff, I think, needs more time in New South Wales Cup to build a bit of confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And Critter, he just hasn't been given an opportunity at fullback. What I don't get is, okay, we know for sure he's one of the game's best centres. So at any moment, you can move him back there and you're sorted. But what if he becomes one of the best fullbacks in the competition? Like, we don't know whether he can or he can't. And it's not like there's a replacement sitting there that is so good at fullback that it's worth putting him in the centres. That's what's surprising to me. Also, selections, Connor Tracy brought in on the wing for Addo-Carr when they have a guy like Skelton. In reserve grade, who, yes, still has some defensive issues that he needs to sort out. But Connor Tracy, out of all the outside back positions, he's probably, this is the least one he's closest to. He's more of a centre, a fullback, or a six. So just a few selection issues that I'm not really sure. I think the Matty Burton situation, I'd love to get some clarity on what he is being told in the game plan. Is he being told to sit on that edge there and not come swing both sides? If that is the case, again, I don't think that's the right move.
Yep.
If it isn't the case, then maybe he should be centre because he does seem more comfortable sitting out on his edge. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, maybe that's that might be the next change that we see at the Doggies, is Burton goes to the centres and you see Toby Sexton come in and join Drew Hutchison in the halves. Maybe Drew stays there at seven, or he goes to six and Toby goes to seven, and Burton out on an edge, because I don't know. I think that's a lot of questions are raised after, you know, each week after, you know, the Bulldogs play, and you know, you see them sort of everywhere about, is Burton really a 5'8"? Is he better suited to centre? And these are just discussion points, right? That we can talk about. Like, we're not saying at all that there should be a change. That's completely up to Cameron Serraldo. Like, he knows better than us. He's working with these guys every day. But it gets raised a lot, doesn't it? The Burton situation, playing with the six number on his back at the moment, and whether he should be there or should be out in the centres.
Well, I personally think, like, I still think he can be a top tier six, but I just think that with his skill set, Dally M centre, so if you win Dally M Centre, it's basically a confirmation that you are one of the best ball runners in the competition. So why have a guy that can play, can swing both sides, just sitting out on an edge when he's literally one of the best ball runners in the NRL? Like, I don't understand how that helps your footy side. And maybe you got systems you want to stick to, but it's like, give him a little bit of a leash to do what he wants. I'm not sure.
Yeah, well, there's got to be a method behind the madness, right, of putting him there, because, you know, Cameron Serrella is not just going to put him there just because he thinks, well, you know, just go there, mate, and let's do our best. Like, there's a reason for him to be there at this stage. I just think they look, on paper, they look a lot more a bigger threat with, say, Burton on one side and Crichton on the other. And as you said, mate, like, they're both really strong ball runners. They're a lot like Joey Manu. So you can have them in your set structures where they're playing right and then they're playing left, and you know, you're setting up plays for them and whatnot. But outside of that, like, they look both like great roaming players. Joseph Manu's got that sort of freedom where he sort of floats on both sides of the play the ball, or sorry, both sides of the field. You know, he can play on the right, he can play on the left. He plays up the middle. He finishes the game with 200 plus meters, but whenever he touches the ball, he's always a threat to the opposition. Maybe that's what could happen with the Dogs if Burton was to be moved to one of those centre positions and Toby Sexton comes in.
Yep, a lot of questions. With the Eels, I thought they looked outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. What do you think of the Eels?
Yeah, no, very good. Great to see them with a first up victory, albeit, you know, it's against the Dogs, who look like they're in for a long season. But I agree with your comments about Bryce Cartwright. Scored a double. It looks as though he's been in the game now for quite some time, and we've all seen that outstanding ability. He's got freakish ability, actually, to be able to, you know, some of these offloads and passes and a few little plays that he comes up with, where you think, yeah, there's not many guys in the competition that could do what he does. But the one thing that he has lacked is consistency. So for all the good things that he's able to produce on the field, he usually comes up with an error as well that matches that quality play that he comes up with. But he seems as though that he's minimized that in his game now, and he's picking his times a lot more sort of wisely, you know, to come up with those plays. On top of that, mate, I thought he defended strongly. He was a standout in that game. And, you know, the other guys supported him strongly around him.
I'm really excited for Brown as well. I just cannot wait to see him play a full season.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts? You know, so Brown basically took control of that team and led him around the park.
Mm-hmm.
What were your thoughts on keeping Mitch Moses on the field when he clearly had... Look, was it enough of an injury not to play? Maybe not, but there is clearly an injury there.
Is his groin issue?
Well, they've said he's good to be selected for round two, but I just... If it's round one, your key playmaker, mate, if he's limping at all, get him off.
Yeah, well, maybe it was his choice, mate. You know, a lot of times where, particularly those key position players, the runner goes out there and says, mate, come off. They just say no. Tell the coach I'm staying out here.
Yeah, okay.
And they leave him out there. Yeah. So I think it was that big of an issue, and Mitch realised that as well. I think he would have come off the field. So he must have been okay at the time, but I think it's something to be monitored for sure.
I would just hate, like, you know, Mitchell Moses, his development has been absolutely incredible, and I would hate for him to miss, you know, 4 to 6 weeks because he's too competitive. He wants to be out there too much. Now, we're going to head to a break. After the break, we've got the big fella, Taitu Avasa, on the line.